Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's time to get brutally honest.
We all love Morgan Riley. I don't need him fighting. I wouldn't mind him chasing him down and hacking him.
Chop him down.
Give him a chop.
Don't
go talk to him. Give him a chop. He gave it to you.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Craig Button in here. It's a Maple Leaf game night tonight. They're in Nashville, and Austin Matthews will make his return. So the big boy is back in the lineup. Zaitsev back in the lineup as well. Komarov is the only mainstay that is not back, but he's expected to return before the playoffs. So it's all about getting healthy. It's a way to test yourself, and this will be a great test tonight because this Nashville team, I think they're probably the most well-oiled machine in the league right now, top to bottom. Where is their weakness? I don't know where they have a weakness in Nashville. And that building's not a weakness because it gets rocking.
Well, I don't know what's happening in the KHL right now. I know they're playing Game 5, Jokerit, where Ale Tolvanen is playing. It was overtime, and I think it's the longest game in KHL history. But anyway, he's coming over to the Predators when his season's over, and it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that. You're bringing over a guy that was a top player at the Olympics, top rookie scorer in the KHL. All he does is lead every tournament he's ever in scoring, and now they're going to add this guy.
Not bad. Not bad.
That's a good team.
And this kid's not going to like Jimmy Vesey them. He's coming and he's playing.
Oh, he's a good player.
They're a good team.
Yes, they are.
But the beauty of being in the East, you don't have to worry about them until the cup final.
Where are the weaknesses?
Yep. They're loaded. I mean, they're loaded.
Winnipeg's loaded. Remember last year, Toronto, they won a big game in there down the stretch.
That was a massive game. 3-2.
3-2, and there was only 10 games left in the season, and they went in there, and I was like, oh. I believe they might have went to Detroit after that and won in there.
I think you're right. That was when Matthews had two goals late, and that kind of solidified the Calder for them.
But it was a gutty win. They needed it, and they got it. So we'll see what they can do tonight.
Well, they don't surprise anybody anymore. When they win games, you're not shocked because they more than just survived without Matthews this time around. They went on a pretty decent run without him. At one point, they had won 4 games in a row. We know what happened 2 nights ago, but they were playing really well for 35, 40 minutes, and then it was just a meltdown in the third. But they're a legitimate top 6 or 7 team in the league. And if you're at that point, you can beat anybody. And if you lose to anybody, you can't walk away looking for moral victories. That's what we said yesterday. No moral victories losing. You can't treat Nashville like they've already won a Stanley Cup.
Go in there and knock them in the head. After the game, they're like, we're going to look at the tape and kind of... I've never understood that. It's like, we're going to learn from this. What are you going to learn? There's one thing to learn. Don't do it again. Don't cough up leads when you're winning 3-0. What are you going to learn?
It's a novel concept.
I always still love when an assistant coach would say to me, see that play right there? It's like, that play's over. That play might not ever happen again. It's just crazy just don't do it again.
Well, Freddie Anderson will play again tonight, and this is his second game since coming back from an injury, and that's the conversation for me. As much as I'm intrigued by Matthews coming back, and I love watching him play, and I believe he'll be able to work it out and figure it out for game one, Freddie Anderson's got to get his game back, especially on the road, because they're starting on the road, and if they get to a game 7, it's going to be on the road. They're not catching Boston or Tampa. That second seed has passed them by. If it was going to happen, they probably had to win on Tuesday night. But, again, Komarov, the only guy out. Andreas Janssen, it sounds like he'll play again tonight. It kind of feels like he's worked his way into the 13th forward. Once they're fully healthy and Komarov returns, Janssen is probably the next man up, at least on the wing. If a centerman goes down, then probably Dominic Moore, but Janssen's look pretty good.
Well, there's no roster limit as long as you're salary cap compliant. You can carry as many players as you want at this point, the post-trade deadline, as long as you're under the salary cap. So they might be able to keep doing that with Janssen.
Well, you got him, you got Levo, you got Martin, You got Dominic Moore.
Yep.
They got a bunch of guys. They got a bunch of guys who I'm sure, you know, they're waiting to get into the lineup, but as long as the Leafs stay healthy, then that's a good problem to have. Again, Luke Wilson will join us here in a moment. He's the newest tight end down in
Detroit. I thought I read that he's signed back with Seattle. I thought that was there a report about that, and then obviously it never happened?
Well, yeah, I guess there's been so much turnover. Like, I'm curious to get his take on if they were expecting this in Seattle. You know, like Sherman's out. They made the Michael Bennett trade. Now Luke Wilson. There's been a couple of other guys who have moved on from Seattle. It really feels like they're turning over a new leaf. And he played on those Super Bowl winning teams. And he's a good player. You know, he was there for 5 years. But now it feels like in Seattle, it was almost as if they let everybody know, like, we're going down a completely different road. And Wilson is on the other side of that. But now he goes to Detroit, and he's from Southern Ontario, I believe. He's a Canadian kid.
Yeah, Windsor or something.
Yeah, I think he's actually might be from Windsor. So that much closer to home, and he's got Matt Stafford who can chuck it. I mean, he's going from one good quarterback to the next. That would be outside of the money and, you know, the family implications that come with it. If you're a tight end, you have to know who's throwing you the ball.
If you're not Sidney Crosby, Austin Matthews, I always used to say you're as good as your linemates.
So they've lost Luke Wilson and Jimmy Graham. Because Jimmy Graham went to Green Bay.
He's in Green Bay. I like that move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't think Aaron Rodgers isn't happy about that?
Very happy. Yeah. And Jimmy Graham's a good example. He went from New Orleans, so Drew Brees is thrown to him, to Seattle with Russell Wilson, and now Green Bay.
Oh.
That's how you stay in the league and keep putting up points.
Well, and you talk about guaranteed contracts, right? Like, you know, what when I say guaranteed, what players are guaranteed? Like, you know, you want your money, but you also want to max out on your money.
Absolutely.
And for, obviously, you know, Luke Wilson, Jimmy Graham, like, they look and go, I need to be here.
It's so true. Like, in a way, and I'm sure this conversation happens a lot with players and agents. Do you take a step back this year with the anticipation of taking two or three steps forward next year? In other words, Green Bay can only give you this. We can go to this team where that quarterback is an unmitigated disaster, and you might be out of the league at the end of the year, but they can give you an extra $1.5 million. But if you go to Green Bay, this is all they can pay you, which isn't pennies. You're still making money. But you go there and you throw up 10 or 12 touchdowns, 700-800 yards, and you get your game back because Rodgers makes you look like a king. I can cash in three or four or five times that next offseason.
So we were talking to Matt Stajan, right? So, and we're not talking about that, like, but he talked a couple of things about playing 1,000 games in the NHL, knowing what your game is and then doing it, and being reliable, being dependable, right? And that's, you know, hey, listen, if we're paying you and you're not catching the ball, well, that's what we paid you, all the quarterback, and somebody new comes in, new coach,
see
new
you later. Thing,
and you're out the door.
Yeah, see you later. And I guess at the same time, there is an element of risk if you're a receiving tight end or wideout or what have you, and you're playing with a guy like Rodgers. If you don't put up numbers, you've really exposed yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're a tight end and you're playing for a team where A.J. McCarron's throwing you the ball, you might be able to sell, hey, look at the tape. I ran my routes. He didn't get me the ball. That's not my problem. Rodgers will be getting you the ball. Or, if he doesn't, that means you didn't do your job.
Did someone just sign A.J. McCarron to be their starter?
Yeah, Buffalo.
Jesus, what? He's not a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Well, the Bills are probably going to trade up and take a quarterback. Like, everyone's waiting for that. They get a move up into the two spot. The Giants move down. Will it be Denver? Who knows? Maybe the Browns trade that second pick in the first round. The belief is the Bills are going to move up. So, McCarron, who knows how long he'll hold that
placeholder
mantle? Placeholder? Yeah, placeholder, exactly. And the same thing's happening with Cleveland. Like, Tyrod Taylor's going there. He's not the starter for the next 5 years.
Well, I know if I'm Jimmy Graham, I'm going right, and I'm doing off-season workouts with Aaron Rodgers. So
right.
We get our timing down.
Get my timing down. I'm thinking our next guest is doing the same thing in Detroit. Yeah. Or maybe he has to go down to Georgia and meet up with Matt Stafford. Yeah. But get on the same page. He is Luke Wilson, longtime NFL tight end. He was in Seattle for a long time, and he's just signed with the Detroit Lions. And he checks back into Overdrive now. Congrats on the new deal. Thanks for doing this, Luke.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So take us through your relationship with Matt Stafford as you roll in, and now he's your quarterback. How quickly do you want to get on the same page with him and make sure you're in his good books?
I mean, as fast as possible as far as the good book thing goes. You know, for me, it's obviously going to be a learning experience, kind of learning the offense, learning what he's looking for. And he's going to have a little bit of a learning experience with me as well, but I'm looking forward to officially meeting him in person and getting to work.
He's got a different style than Russell Wilson, but Wilson, I mean, he could throw it, but Stafford's got a bomb of an arm. I mean, is it a situation where when you're talking with different teams or you're trying to decide on where you want to sign and where you want to play, how often did you consider who the quarterback was going to be?
Yeah, it's definitely a factor that plays into it. There's free agency is a weird ordeal. It's kind of a very fluid situation. There's a million factors, but that is definitely something I'm looking forward to playing with a quarterback who can throw the ball like Matt has and will continue to do. It's going to be pretty special.
So you leave Seattle, you were there for 5 years, went to a Super Bowl, very comfortable. They gave you your first chance, and you took advantage of it. How difficult has this process been for you, knowing that you're moving on from the only team and only town you've been familiar with in the NFL?
You know, it's been a bit sad, to be honest with you. Like you said, 5 years is a long time. At least it feels like a long time. A team that drafted me right out of college. Not just for me personally, but to see the kind of team, you know, what's happened this offseason with that. You know, obviously things have been disbanding. It's been tough because, you know, you have a lot of personal relationships, a lot of, you know, friends, not just even teammates, just around the building, stuff like that. So it's been tough in that sense, but I'm excited to be back home here in Detroit and go from there.
What was your experience with Pete Carroll like? There's a lot of different stories, and there's been documentaries over the years about his coaching style and how he wants to motivate his players and bring different people in to meet the players or do whatever. What are you going to take away from that experience with him?
Honestly, I thought it was my time there has been nothing short of unbelievable. I have a ton of respect for Pete Carroll. I love the way he coaches. I had an absolute blast playing for him. You know, I shot him a message the other day. I can't thank him enough. He's really, you know, affected my life in a positive way, both on the field and off. And again, we had some great teams the last few years, and a lot of that's been because of him and his attitude.
Well, you know, Luke, you played in the Super Bowl against the Patriots. We all know what ended up happening at the end of that game. But Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator, is now the new head coach in Detroit. What was his, you know, message, recruitment, influence on you choosing Detroit?
You know, I met with him on one of the visits, and after speaking with him, I was very excited just because, you know, I could tell he's, you know, laid back in the conversation, but really straightforward. I was a straight shooter and just about business and the way he approaches the game after the short conversation I've had with him was something that I was really excited to be a part of. I think he's going to completely change the culture around Detroit, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
We're chatting with NFL tight end Luke Wilson. He just signed in Detroit.
You just mentioned a visit. What happens in these visits? Like, what kind of promises are made? Because I talk to players, and they're like, I was told this, and I was told that, and it never really happened. Is the visit, we really like you, we want you to be here, or is it we're going to give you this, this, and that, or is it just you come here, you be a soldier, and be one of us?
You know, if it was, if there were promises made, I would have felt pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a promise in this game or a guarantee. What happens 1 week can change the next, just like free agency. You know, one day, I think I'm going here. Next day, I think I'm going there. So I just would have known that there'd be a lot of BS in that sense. So there are no promises made on these free agent trips. It's kind of they get to feel you out. You got to get to feel them out a little bit, check out the facility, do a physical, and then kind of head on your way. But, you know, there was none of that. No, nothing was promised to me. Let's put it that way.
Do you think, Luke, too, that like the environment you're in Seattle, I mean, it's about earn your place every single play, really, essentially. If you're good, you keep your spot. If you're not, there's somebody competing, and everybody's straight up about it. Does that help you just kind of separate the wheat from the chaff in case any of this kind of false promises and empty promises, maybe a better word, come up?
You know what? One thing Pete always preached was, you know, go day by day, and every day is an opportunity to get better. I know it's cliche, but that's kind of how you think, even every game. And honestly, that's kind of how I'm approaching my everyday life now, and I approach the Detroit situation. I've got a great opportunity, what my role will be or anything like that. My role is to help win games. That's the only thing I'm going there to do. And I'm going to go in there, you know, work my tail off, do everything that's asked of me, and go from there.
With Luke Wilson, NFL tight end, he just signed with Detroit, coming off 5 years in Seattle. Some news out of the NFL the past couple of days pertaining to the catch rule, and it's been such a hot topic in the NFL for years now. What is a catch? What isn't a catch? What the review process is all about. In the NFL, they're trying to clean it up, but as a player who's on the receiving end of this a lot, how have you felt about the way the NFL has defined a catch, and where would you like to see them take it?
You know, it's a tough situation. I think I really enjoy it if it was more, you know, black and white. You know, I think it's kind of been muddied up a little bit too much. But to be honest with you, I haven't really followed what the new rulings would be or anything like that. Usually during OTAs, some refs will come in or somebody on the team will go over exactly what the new rule changes are. But the bottom line is, you know, if the ball comes over, I got to catch it. So that's pretty much it. You know, I'll let the refs decide the rest.
Yeah. Well, that's probably the right mentality to have. Well, congrats on the new deal. You're a lot closer to home. I know a lot of people in Eastern Canada, throughout the country, are going to be tracking what happens with you in Detroit. So good luck with that, and thank you for doing this.
All right, appreciate that. Thank you, guys.
There's Luke Wilson from Ontario, Canadian, tight end, long time in Seattle, now signs a one-year deal with Detroit. And Matt Patricia, big part of that program now. He's going to try to bring that New England culture to Detroit.
And Luke Wilson, like, come in with that attitude from Seattle. I mean, successful player from a successful organization. And
yep.
A successful defensive coordinator from a highly successful. Hey, that's what you got
to
do.
It's always fascinating when the assistant coach that's been dying to become the head coach finally gets the opportunity. Because if it sucks right away, there's generally not another one.
At the very least, you take another step back. And you go back to being a coordinator maybe for quite some time.
Ron Rolston's not getting a coaching job anytime soon.
That's your boy in Buffalo.
But I'm not trying to jump on Ron, though. But Ron
never, I'm not either. I'm just saying he's not getting another job.
Yeah, but the bottom line is he didn't come from a successful organization.
Wasn't he from college in the States?
Yeah, well, he was with the National Team Development Program.
Okay.
Right? But I'm just saying, Matt Patricia, I mean, you Charlie Weiss, go back and Romeo Crennel. You know, you, Josh McDaniels, right? Like, I mean, they came from highly successful New England Patriots eras.
Mm-hmm.
And
never really worked out for any of them.
And Josh McDaniels is back on the, although...
Well, he may have sewered himself with what happened in Indianapolis.
Well, or he may be the next head coach in New England, right? And we don't know that. But to Jeff's point, I wasn't trying to, it was just that, you know, it even happens to the most successful of people, right?
That come from the best programs.
And then it doesn't work out and see ya.
That's right. Well, that's why there's only one Bill Belichick. You know, his assistants and his coordinators, they can all be great, but they're not going to be to that level. That's why sometimes the stock in these guys, as much as I appreciate it and I do value it, and you have to take it into consideration, it's kind of like your McDavid argument earlier. In one way, it's a blessing. In another way, it's a curse. It's a blessing because you learned under the tutelage of Belichick. It's a curse because people are like, all right, just do what Belichick did then.
And that's
can't do that.
But you know what's even... Like, think about where Belichick is at. He's with Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft, right? So he's in a situation and in a setup that affords you to be that way, right? And you've grown into that. So now somebody is hiring you that's just come from Belichick. They're not Kraft, but they're expecting you to be Belichick and do the same thing.
Right, exactly.
It's delusional.
And you're not hanging out with them when you get there either, Kraft is with Belichick.
And they're impatient, and it's delusional. Hey, you want to? I lived it. I went from Dallas to Calgary. I'm talking from experience here, boys.
Yeah, you've been down this road before. Tom Stirner will join us, former Raptors assistant. We'll get his take on the Raptors' loss last night, what we can take out of it, glass half full, glass half empty. Leafs in Nashville tonight, and there's a story circulating out of Tigers spring training about Miguel Cabrera. We'll tell you about that next. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. And on Friday, call with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl seats to see the Leafs take on the Sabres April 2nd out at the ACC. This week's theme, former Leafs who played in the 99 Toronto-Buffalo Eastern Conference Final. I feel like this was last week's, and I'm reading the wrong liner. So maybe we'll revisit this in a minute. Doesn't that feel like I already did this?
Former what?
Former Leafs who played in the 99 Toronto-Buffalo Eastern Final.
Yeah.
I don't think we did that last week.
Did we? You were off last week,
yeah,
though, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah, you've done it. Okay. I was here. We've done it.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a dodo head move.
Yeah. I'm just trying to read the paper that's given to me. So.
What is it called?
Ronnie Rolston?
No.
Oh, Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
I just got Burgundy. So what are you going to do? I guess we'll get to that in the next hour. Even though we're off at 7.
Whenever they're ready
to figure it out, they'll send it to us. All right. Tom Stirner's going to call in just a moment. Former assistant of the Raptors. He's a fiery guy, though. I like Tom. He'll be yelling and screaming about what happened.
He gives us the goods all the time when we talk to Tom.
Yeah, Tommy's a good man. We're a fan. Like, what's he going to tell us about LeBron that we don't already know just from watching him play last night and watching him through 15 years in the NBA? The guy's a machine.
He is. He's a freak of nature.
The question becomes, can he do that four times in the course of a series against the Raptors if they meet in the Eastern Conference Final? So after he gets through two rounds, if Cleveland gets through the first round and the second round, which you would expect they would. I mean, maybe Boston, a healthy Boston, could get to Cleveland. But hopefully they, you know, knock something out of him. Can he do what he did last night four times? I'm not convinced he can. As much respect as I have for LeBron and as great of a player as LeBron is, again, those were unprecedented stats we saw out of him last night. 35 points, 17 assists, 0 turnovers. Never seen that before. How's he going to do it four times? And even with that kind of a magician-type evening from him, the Raptors lost by 3 and had that game in hand. They could have hit a couple of shots late and made that.
I always just find it mind-boggling how they can't stop him. He just grabs it, goes to the net, boom. There's no stopping that guy.
No, there isn't. But they're not alone in that.
I get that.
Like, nobody is stopping LeBron. And the sport sets up where it's not like you can take him out at the knees. It's not like football or hockey.
Well, you understand the X's and O's better than I do.
No.
What is the game plan? Like, what is the game plan, X's and O's-wise, to stop him? Is there even one?
I think it's similar to Jordan. It's contain him, but don't let anybody else burn you.
Wait a sec. That's a good thing, similar to Jordan. Look at what the Pistons did. Lambeer and the boys.
You want to go old school?
The Jordan rules.
Make it get ugly?
And the Pistons did make it ugly.
They did. The game is a bit different now.
I know it is. I lived in Ann Arbor there. I loved the way they played.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is former Raptors assistant coach, one of our good buddies. We haven't caught up with Tom Stirner in a while, and he joins us here on Overdrive. How you doing, Tom?
Brian, how you doing?
Doing really, really well. I mean, we've been talking about that game last night, and the Raptors were not happy with themselves post-game. You know, they allowed the Cavs to shoot 60%. They had that game in the bag at half, and then the Cavs took off, and the Cavs put up 132 points. But for me, it was all about LeBron. He put forth numbers we've never seen before, and I don't think he can do that four times over the course of a series. How do you feel about it?
I would agree with you. I think Cleveland played one of the best games they've played all year. And the fact that they shot 62% from three, I don't see them being able to sustain that over a series, a seven-game series. So when you take a look at the fact, and Case and DeMar and Kyle aren't going to say this, but I will, when you play three games in four nights this late in the year, you had to travel from Orlando back up to Cleveland. I think that speaks well in the fact that, I think you've got a tired team in the second half with the Raptors, and it's a three-point game. So I think there's a lot of positives to be taken from it. Case didn't deviate from the fact that he was trying to keep guys rested. 9 guys played a significant amount of minutes, and they had no C.J. Miles. So when you take a look at this, I think you know, it's just another regular season game. I know I'm watching all the ESPN guys, the geniuses out there, try to make something out of this more than what it really is.
I'll ask you the same question I asked Brian earlier in the show. If you had $5,000 cash and you had to lay it down, if the playoffs started tomorrow and Toronto was playing Cleveland, who would you be putting it on?
Well, I've said this all year. You know, Toronto's better for a lot of reasons, and I'm laying my money on the Raptors. And again, I understand I work there. I know Case. I know the staff. But I see a great improvement. Their team shooting better from the field, a two-point percentage than they ever have. Their three-point percentage is up. What's more significant is the fact that they're making 11.8 threes per game, which is an all-time high in franchise history. And it's something that's besieged the Raptors in years past, was the fact that they were criticized because they couldn't make them. Well, now they've got guys making them, including DeMar. And when you take a look at the other significant statistic, which will bode well from last night's game, which is what you're talking about, is the fact that they're the best defensive rebounding in franchise history. And Siakam, Pascal, and the bench mob are going to make a difference in the playoffs.
So, Tom, we were just discussing a little bit about LeBron and the Jordan rules back in the day. Is it, you know, when the Pistons had the Jordan rules and really took it to Michael Jordan, you know, before he established himself as the preeminent force in the NBA, maybe in sport. Is there anything that could be done along those lines, LeBron rules, that could, you know, where you could try to disrupt them in a real physical, over-the-edge type of way? Or is that gone?
No. I think that's one of the things. You know, that was with the Magic when we had to play Jordan as well, and we were the last team to beat Jordan, and we had some rules that we instituted that actually helped Nick Anderson be able to play Michael back in that series a long, long time ago. I know a lot of people probably won't remember that. But one of the things I think that the Raptors are going to have to do from the adjustment standpoint, and it happened last night, is when they get to that George Hill, LeBron pick and roll, Van Fleet was involved in it, And I think Siakam was involved with it defensively, is they're going to have to adjust it a little bit. And, you know, Toronto does a lot of switching defensively when it comes to pick and rolls and screening actions. And they didn't switch with that. But what Van Fleet didn't do was get out in the path of LeBron. I mean, he's not giving it up to George Hill, but he's got to impact the ball. He's got to go after the ball and try to make a steal, which is going to give whoever's guarding him, whether it's Ibaka, and they had multiple guys, Ibaka, Poeltl, Siakam trying to guard him, it's going to give him the ability to be able to stay in front. And that was the downfall last night, was the ability for LeBron to penetrate, not only to finish, which he did, but also to make that dagger pass to Kevin Love in the corner for that wide open three. So they're going to have to make some adjustments, and that's what these games will be about, is taking a look at it. The staff will go back, they'll evaluate. And they may not come out with it in game one, but certainly they'll have it in their pocket for the series if it comes to that.
With Tom Stirner here on Overdrive, looking back on the Cavs' victory over the Raps by 3 points last night. It was a really fun game. And what I've taken out of this game and the previous game against Cleveland is that three of those kids that performed really well last night, they've been performing like that all year, and that's Van Fleet, Poeltl, and Siakam. Casey's got to find minutes for them. Like he's got to commit to play in the bench, and we've spoken with Dwayne multiple times about it, and he keeps saying, listen, it's going to happen. We don't need to fall to conventional wisdom where you shorten the bench in the playoffs, but I think he's really got to be committed to that, because I do think that is the true strength of the Raptors that no other team in the East can match, is they have that depth, and if you spread the minutes out, you get more out of Lowry and DeMar.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. I was with the staff here about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, not recently for the Orlando Magic game, but the one that was about 2 to 3 weeks ago, and they're committed to it. You know, I talk with them. They're committed to that bench mob, and it's a weapon. You know, like any coach who has, you know, tries not to get his team beat, he does the things that the team does well. Case certainly recognizes that. You know, I've been with Case. I was with Nick Nurse. You know, we were all together on the staff. And those two guys are committed to that. They realize that is a weapon that they have. Just like you would have a dagger three-point shooter or a terrific offensive rebounder, you would certainly want to play that player. Well, you got to play these guys. You know, these three guys have contributed all year. Delon Wright's played well. He's gotten his minute. So you got, and then C.J. Miles, who didn't play last night. You know, that when you take a look at that, Miles didn't play last night. And I understand Korver didn't. So everybody can make their argument one way or the other that this guy didn't play and this guy didn't play. But by and large, you've got five guys that make a difference, and they make a difference on a nightly basis. And when they win 15 out of 16, you know, games, those guys had a significant role in that. So keep on playing those guys, and I'm sure Case will do that.
With former Raptors assistant coach Tom Sterner. Let's switch gears here to this Kawhi Leonard Spurs story. A report came out earlier, courtesy of ESPN, that they held a players-only meeting over the weekend to try and force Kawhi Leonard to start playing again. And it's been an ongoing strange story all year where he hasn't played that much, and by all accounts, the medical staff in San Antonio has cleared him to play, and he just won't do it. Now, the Spurs are not admitting to this. They're calling fake news on this story. But I kind of feel like Wojnarowski's hit this one on the nail. What do you make of the whole Leonard scene in San Antonio, and what is it going to mean for his future in San Antonio?
Well, I was in San Antonio last night, as a matter of fact, but I was not at the game. So anytime I've been involved, I was in the NBA for 27 years. Player-only meetings are they're awful. They never accomplish anything. They never get anything done. They're only detrimental to the team. So if they had one, and I'm assuming that they did, it's not a good situation. And that's so unlike San Antonio. Coach Popovich, who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, has managed teams over however long his career has been, which is a very long one. And so if this is the case there, this is a very unique situation. And I'm sure Pop has had maybe some questionable times. He's always had Tim Duncan around, and he's always had David Robinson, some real strong personalities. But I thought Ginobili's comments were really on cue, and he just said he's not coming back. So let's move on. And that's the story when you get down to it, is that if the guy's not coming back, you have to figure it out. And that certainly they played well last night. They look committed to playing with for each other, which is ultimately what you want. So if this story does break and it is Kawhi, seeking to go elsewhere or having a rift with whoever, it's there on the team, it's unfortunate because certainly San Antonio's franchise is one of the storied franchises over the last 20 years. And I hate to see anything like that happen
them. Can you give me a little bit of background? I was aware of the story. Like, why the hell isn't he playing? I don't get it. Like, why do they have to try to talk? Your job as a pro athlete is to play. What is it? What is going on? I don't get it.
Well, either it's a conflict. A lot of times what happens is either a conflict, and again, I don't want to speculate a whole lot because I don't have the facts. But typically, it's a conflict with another player, a conflict with a coach. And I can't imagine, Coach Popovich. I can't imagine that just because he's such a class man. He's been around the best in this sport, and I can't imagine that would be. And it could be from the standpoint that there may be more of a serious injury than we're all aware of. You know, if the medical staff says he's cleared to go, a lot of times that's a little questionable. But if the athlete himself feels like he's not ready to go, then a lot of times what ends up happening with that is that he just mentally. I was with Penny Hardaway years ago, and Penny, had multiple surgeries, and ultimately he just didn't feel like he could play. And then ultimately he broke through when he got out to Phoenix again and eventually started playing again. But by and large, I think that's got to be left up to the athlete because they know their body and just got to trust that they're saying and doing the right things.
Thank you, Tom. Always appreciate you doing this for us.
Hey, guys, appreciate you having me on. Thanks very much.
There's Tom Sterner, former assistant coach with the Raptors, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit mapletoyota.ca. He mentioned Ginobili's comments, and if you go through the order of events, according to ESPN, that team meeting happened before Ginobili's comments. So they had the team meeting. They tried to coerce Kawhi Leonard into playing again. Whatever happened, happened. And then Ginobili came out afterwards and is like, as far as I'm concerned, he's not playing.
I don't even have a meeting with a teammate to try to convince him to want to play. I walk away from it. I mentally have already checked out from that teammate. I don't want him anywhere around me, anywhere near me. And I don't want to have a meeting to say, can you please play? What? How much money does this guy make?
Well, but he's also their best player.
No kidding. I've already mentally checked out.
I have a saying, the tail can't wag the dog. Tell you what, it's one of the most impressive things I saw at the Olympics. Zarnik, the head coach of Russia, after game one when they watched the Slovakia, he said, here's how it's running, boys. Kovalchuk, you're on the fourth line. Shipachyov, go watch from the stands. Marchenko, join them. Oh, how can they do this? The tail doesn't wag the dog. If you want to win and you want to run, we talked to Luke Wilson about culture, right? Everybody uses the word culture, but they don't understand what culture is. Culture is simple. These are the rules, and we don't care how good you are. You know what? We respect how good you are, and we expect you to be good, and we expect you to play, but the tail doesn't wag the dog.
Well, we'll see what happens this summer, because that'll be one of the most fascinating contract negotiations.
For sure will.
Because the Spurs, they're probably not going to bury him publicly until he moves on. Then they will. But you got to think behind the scenes, if the players are dying for him to play, Popovich is freaking out. And the GM is freaking out. And the owner is freaking out. The owner's the one paying this guy. And he's like, he's ready to play. We're going to the playoffs. I need him.
I don't know if they're going to the playoffs. They're on the playoff bubble.
They're on the bubble. They've won five in a row.
I know. But, I mean, they've been on the bubble.
And they've been on the bubble. There's no doubt about that.
Hey, listen, no question that Kawhi Leonard is one of the top players in the NBA.
Absolutely.
The guy's a star.
Top five player in the league.
But at the end of the day, tail doesn't wag the dog.
Yeah, but the thing is, someone's going to pay him. Yeah,
I don't dispute that. But when everybody talks about culture and winning culture and how you run things and everything,
they might cut him loose to prove a point. They might.
I'm surprised in an organization.
Remember Jamie Calsari?
With Popovich involved, that he doesn't straighten that out in 2 seconds.
Maybe he has.
Yeah. You never know where Kawhi Leonard's head is at. You don't know who's whispering what.
All I want to know is why the hell he's not playing. Like, how do you even do that? Isn't that a conflict of your contract or what?
Okay. I don't know. I mean, he's not the first player to say, I'm not ready.
And players are allowed a second opinion.
It's happened before.
And he may have had a second opinion that says, hey, listen, you're at risk of getting hurt again, or this is whatever the injury is, you know. Anyway, I don't want to speculate. But
It may be as simple as he really doesn't think he's ready. It may be he doesn't want to put himself in a position where he doesn't make the money he thinks he can this summer. Maybe there's a rift behind the scenes. That seems like a distant third for me. Like, still get out there and play, but...
Well, even Tom Stoerner said he doesn't expect that with the way Popovich is.
Exactly. Like, Popovich treats these guys pretty well and takes care of them pretty well. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. And on Friday, you can call in with the names of all five players and win a pair of lower bowl tickets this week to see the Leafs take on the Jets.
You had the wrong paper, didn't you?
I was reading from the wrong paper. The theme this week, former Leafs who played for the original Winnipeg Jets. And today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Barry Melrose.
I can name a lot of Leafs that played for the original Winnipeg Jets.
There's been a lot of them over the years, I guess.
I can name a lot of them.
Well, there's only one more tomorrow, because Barry Melrose is the guy today.
Have we named Randy Carlyle?
Randy came up. I believe Eddie came
up. Dave Ellett?
I don't think Ellett came up.
Ty Domi?
He might have.
Chris King?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot more than that. I don't know. I'm with you. So you're going to have to tune in tomorrow to find out who the final Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is.
Good job, buddy.
Brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com.
Was that your screw-up?
No, I'll show you the paper. It doesn't matter. Who cares? We got it out. It's all good.
It.
It's all good.
Dodo had admitted.
We'll get to our best bets. We'll tee up the Leaf game tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. Your next phone off the guy in the corner, or you could buy it off ebay.ca. Find a brand new smartphone for only $500. Bet you didn't know that over 80% of what eBay sells is 100% new. And did you know that over 80% of the items on eBay are bought instantly without an auction? Well, now you do. eBay, fill your cart with color. Shop ebay.ca. Forgot to bring up this Miguel Cabrera story that we teased earlier.
What's he up to? He didn't get in trouble again, did he?
No, he's not in trouble, but he's been in Detroit for a long time. He's been in the league for a long time. And I guess someone outed him, or he outed it, and then they went and spoke with different teammates of his. He's admitted on the record he doesn't know any of his teammates' names. He calls everyone bro. Like, he's even admitted this. He's like, I have no idea any of their names. Do you respect that, or is that just so ignorant?
Oh,
well, Ricky Henderson, wasn't there a a story about Ricky Henderson where he was playing with John Olerud with the Mets, and he's like, I played with a guy in Toronto that wore that hard hat at first base, and he was like, dude, that was me.
That's a true story. I remember I played in Toronto with a guy who wore a helmet when he played first.
Yeah,
I mean, thanks, Ricky. It was me.
I mean, that's
we won the World Series together.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's,
like, that's
bad.
Like, you know what? Like, Miguel, like, you know, you're on a team. Like, it has the last name on the back. I think they had their last name on the back of their jerseys in Detroit. But, mm-hmm. like, just go look at the lineup card.
How, like, an introduction in spring training. Well, you're around the guys for 8 months a year, basically.
Well, and think about it. And every day they're in there for, like, 8 hours.
Right. Every day you're in the office with
them.
You
know who the most concerned person about that comment should be? His wife.
What? Oh, because he's not hanging out with the boys on the road?
What the hell are you doing?
What are you doing around the boys if you don't know their name?
Well, he should just go.
I don't know. You're on the road all that time, and you don't even know one of your teammates' names?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
Who'd you go out to dinner with last night? Couple bros. Can't give a name on anything.
Well, what you got to do is just do what Dwayne Casey does with Brian. Hey, B.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, B.
Just know the first letter.
Just the first initial.
That's right. Yeah, I think it's just such an ignorant move, but it's also like, I'm the man. I'm making $300 million. Like, it's one thing if a guy gets called up from AA or AAA, and you're like, I don't know who this kid is. That happens all the time.
You didn't know Justin Verlander's
That's
name?
What I'm saying. You didn't know Verlander? I bet you knew Kate Upton's name. He didn't call Kate Upton sis.
I guarantee that. I thought we might have been getting a Bartolo Colon story.
No, it wasn't one
story.
Of those. No. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on Philly at home tonight. I'm on Arizona and Carolina for you, Craig. And I'll take Washington and Detroit. Throw down 20 and you can score 101. You can find
Craig
my picks on
you
Twitter.
Into a Coyotes
I'm
fan.
A huge fan now.
You're the best, B.
I'm on board. Thank you,
B. Our guy.
Find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050 Radio. Get way into the game with ProLine. ProLine, get way into the game. Thank you, Craig. We'll see you again soon, buddy.
Yeah, for sure.
Noodles
thanks.
Back tomorrow at 4.
We'll chat then.